A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. One night while Paul was in Corinth, the Lord said to him in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack and harm you, for I have many people in this city." He settled there for a year and a half and taught the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews rose up together against Paul and brought him to the tribunal, saying, "This man is inducing people to worship God contrary to the law." When Paul was about to reply, Gallio spoke to the Jews, "If it were a matter of some crime or malicious fraud, I should with reason hear the complaint of you, Jews. But since it is a question of arguments over doctrine and titles and your own law, see to it yourselves. I do not wish to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them away from the tribunal. They all seized Sosthenes, the synagogue official, and beat him in full view of the tribunal. But none of this was of concern to Gallio. Paul remained for quite some time, and after saying farewell to the brothers, he sailed for Syria, together with Priscilla and Aquila. At Chincrique, he had shaved his head because he had taken a vow. Verbum Domini. God is King of all the earth. All you peoples, clap your hands. Shout to God with the cries of gladness. For the Lord, the Most High, the Awesome, is the great King over all the earth. He brings people under us, nations under our feet. He chooses for us our inheritance, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. God mounts his throne in shouts of joy. The Lord amid trumpet blast. Sing praise to God, sing praise. Sing praise to our King, sing praise.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. On that day, you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you.
Verbum Domini.
Celebrate today the optional memorial of Saint Damian of Molokai. And he was born into a very well-to-do farming family in Belgium in the year 1840, and he was baptized with the name Joseph. And as a young man, he entered the congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, and he took the religious name Damian. And when his brother, who was also a priest of the same congregation, when his brother contracted typhus and was not able to go to the Hawaiian Islands where he had been assigned, Damian volunteered and took his place. He was ordained to the priesthood 2 months after arriving in Hawaii, and he served in missions on the Big Island for 9 years. And then he volunteered to serve at the leper colony on the island of Molokai. The Catholics among the lepers there had been begging for a priest to come to them. There were over 800 with leprosy, and about 200 of them were Catholic. And although Damian had probably known that it would be a slow martyrdom, he felt inspired to respond to the request, and he wrote his superior asking for permission to go to this colony. And he added in his letter to his superior, "I can only attribute to God an undeniable feeling that soon I shall join them." He did receive permission. In fact, the bishop accompanied him to take him to the island and to introduce to the lepers their new pastor, Father Damian. And he was 33 years old at the time, and he got right to work. One could say that St. Damian's charism was restoring the dignity in the lives of the lepers that he served. Just to give a sense of the atmosphere that Father Damian had walked into when he entered Molokai, one inhabitant of the colony would say, "In this place, there is no law." So sexual immorality, fighting, drunkenness, robbery, these characterized the lives of many of the lepers. Many simply didn't care. They'd given in to despair. They were suffering from a dreadful disease, and they knew that they were going to die from it. And when they did die, their bodies had simply been thrown into graves that were so shallow that pigs and dogs would pick at them. So the conditions were very bad when St. Damian arrived on this island. Physically, the bodies of the lepers were ravaged. They would cough almost constantly, and their breath and their bodies often gave off a very foul odor. So it was not pleasant being in close proximity. And the medical care in general had also been very minimal. It's been said that doctors were sent there, but they often kept their distance, and they would check bandages with a cane. And so they would leave the medicine, and then they would go. So the care had been very minimal. And Father Damian, again, he sought to restore the dignity of each of these lepers. And at first, he took precautions to avoid getting the disease. And his superiors had even given him advice and counsel not to touch the lepers, not to let them touch him, and not to eat with them either. And eventually he gained courage, and he began to approach the lepers one by one. And to show them the value of their lives, he started by showing them first the value of their deaths. So he began with the cemetery next to the chapel. In fact, when he got there, a chapel had already been built. But again, he came as the pastor. And he put a fence around the cemetery to protect it from the pigs and the dogs and other scavengers. He also built coffins and dug graves. And he organized a Christian burial association among the lepers to provide a decent burial for the dead. They would organize a requiem mass funeral ceremonies. They'd sponsor a musical group to play during the funeral procession. Again, it added dignity to their deaths. And as a priest, he also ministered to the sick, especially providing the sacraments for them, particularly confession, anointing of the sick, and Holy Communion. He'd also washed the lepers, bandaged their wounds, and cleaned their rooms. He tried to make them simply as comfortable as possible in the midst of their horrific suffering. And one of the most effective means of helping to restore their dignity was that he encouraged the lepers to help him in the work that they did. He didn't just go simply, "I'm going to build you a house." He got them involved to build it with him. They restored their sense of dignity, that they could be of help and assistance as well. And they would help him build coffins, cottages, and a rectory for the chapel. And when the leper colony expanded, they also helped him construct a road. They even built and opened a docking facility. Prior to this, there was no dock or harbor. And when lepers would be brought to this colony, they'd be simply dropped off the boat. And some of them didn't even make it to shore. They didn't survive making it to shore. So he thought, okay, we need to build a dock so a boat can come up and lepers can get off to come to the island. St. Damian also taught the people how to farm, to raise animals, and to play instruments and to sing. The Hawaiians loved to sing. And although the lepers had come a long way under the spiritual guidance of Father Damian, they still had their struggles with sin. And St. Damian did not hesitate to discipline his spiritual children. It's been said he was known at times, especially after he eventually got sick, that he'd go around with his cane, and if he found like an immoral party going on, he would break up the party. And even though he could be firm in disciplining them, it did not decrease their attendance at Mass. They knew that he loved them and he cared about the health of their souls. They knew that he wanted them to get to heaven. And Father Damian actually had to expand the chapel, and that expansion was outgrown as well. It was said that the overflow crowds used to peer in through the side windows. The chapel was so packed. And one day in December of 1884, while St. Damian had been soaking his feet in very hot water, he experienced no sensation of pain or of heat. This was a sign that he himself had contracted leprosy, or Hansen's disease as it's known today. But he didn't let that slow him down. He continued guiding the spiritual lives of his people, and he worked on the building projects and orphanages. And as his disease began progressing and he was becoming more disfigured, he was asked once how he was holding up. And he replied, "Our Lord will give me the graces I need to carry my cross and to follow him." He also noted that the good God knows what is best for my sanctification. I daily repeat from my heart, "Thy will be done." It's a great act of trust, knowing that whatever suffering or trials that God permits, it's for our sanctification. It's for our good. Now, one great source of suffering for St. Damian was not having another priest to join him and the work, and especially for very practically speaking, he wanted another priest to go to confession to. So as a great source of confession, and his writing revealed that he was very concerned that he would lose his way. He was concerned that he'd forget the true purpose of his life and his mission, as he was the lone priest there. On one occasion, a bishop did come out to visit him, but the captain of the boat refused to let the bishop get onto the boat that St. Damian was on. Damian went out on a smaller boat. The bishop came in on a larger one. The captain of the boat did not permit the bishop to get onto the smaller boat and did not permit Father Damian to get on the larger boat because he was afraid that he might contract the disease. But Damian had a great desire to go to confession, so he received permission from the bishop to basically confess his sins aloud in front of those who were on the boats because he wanted the sacrament and to have his sins absolved. I think what a witness of humility that was, firstly for him, but also for those who are on those boats, to see this saint confessing out loud his sins to receive absolution. And even though it was humbling, it certainly was a consolation to him to receive absolution himself and the grace of the sacrament. Another consolation was the arrival in 1888 of Father Conradi, who was a fellow Belgian priest. This was about a year before Father Damian died. But it provided him with the spiritual support that he had been yearning for in his work and in the mission. And still another consolation came to him with the arrival of some Franciscan sisters who came to care for the orphan children. And one of these was Mother Marianne Cope, who's now Saint Marianne Cope. And these sisters of the Third Order, regular of St. Francis in Syracuse, New York, they had received a plea from the Hawaiian king to come and serve the lepers. And so Mother Marianne and six of her sisters would come and answer that call. And they set up hospitals on the islands, and Mother Marianne herself would care for the dying Father Damien. And as his death was quickly approaching in April of 1889, 5 years after contracting the disease, he would say to those around him that the Lord wanted him to spend Easter in heaven that year. And he died on Tuesday of Holy Week. And one final point from St. Damien's life is that his example shows us the power of Eucharistic adoration. So he had established perpetual Eucharistic adoration when he arrived on the island of Molokai. And that gave the lepers, and he wanted to really emphasize the importance to the lepers, who again were greatly suffering. He wanted to emphasize with them that the Lord was with them always, just as he promised before he ascended into heaven. And Eucharistic adoration gave the lepers the opportunity to pour out their hearts to the Lord and their suffering and their great need at any time. And St. Damien also had Eucharistic processions and frequent benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And when writing to his provincial superior, this was the year before he died in 1888, he said, "This is the 15th year we observe night adoration, all of us lepers." Now, just that time stamp right there, 15 years, that basically tells us that he started Eucharistic adoration as soon as he got to the island. That was one of the first things he did. And we see the fruit of that. That, of course, was his spiritual strength. He knew it was for the good of the lepers. But he also, that's provided for his renewal, his spiritual renewal. And just to give you an idea of the fruitfulness that came from that prayer, the Eucharistic adoration, within 6 months of his arrival on the island, he already had 400 people preparing for baptism. Again, you see the power of prayer, especially from the Lord in the Eucharist. And he would write, "I find my consolation in the one and only consolation who will never leave me. That is our divine Savior in the Holy Eucharist. Without the Blessed Sacrament, a position like mine would be unbearable. But having our Lord at my side, I continue always to be happy and content."